Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, at least as our beginning this morning, as we hear God's word and seek to apply it. And at least to begin from the prayer, or part of the prayer, that the Lord has set before us as our guide, part of that, which perhaps we think we know very well, but is valuable to return to and think of. In chapter 6 of Matthew and verse 11, part of this prayer, our guide, Jesus says, is to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." If you ask some folk these days, it's been reported in the news from time to time, and so on, different surveys and things, if you ask some folk where milk comes from, especially younger people perhaps, they're only able to say Tesco or Sainsbury's or Waitrose or something. Ask where bread or meat comes from. Same kind of thing. Where do these things come from? There are far more people, I think, in our parts of the world who, if you were to ask them, they know that those things come, they have to buy them, and you were up to ask them where their money comes from to buy their food each day, each week, or each month, they might answer something like, "It comes from my own hard work," or "It comes from the boss," "It comes from my company." And many people seem to be quite satisfied with just leaving it at that. Let's not think about them. Let's be sure that we ourselves are concerned enough that we have our thinking right. Do we think on where these things come from? Do you go sometimes to Tesco and you just go and do it without a second thought apart from, is this on the list or not? Now, I'm not one, as you well know, I'm not one for doing a special service of any kind just because everyone does it. There are plenty of churches that do what are called Harvest Thanksgiving services. It's an annual part of their calendar. But I heard one local vicar, recently comment that going along with the pattern that was set for them in church, all they had were a few snatched verses to kind of hook something on, and he found it extremely unhelpful. So that there was that service, but it really wasn't getting to the root of the matter. So just because it's done, because it's a regular thing, unless we're truly thinking things through, where is it leading us? Where is it taking us? But we may well be, all too often, we can be in danger of forgetting our dependence on God. And when we recognize even that danger, it's very good to reflect then on the benefits that he does give us, that we are dependent on him. Sometimes in our churches we might be inclined to focus entirely on what we think of as the spiritual. We know we're dependent on God for that, for forgiveness of our sins, as we've also been taught to pray. But are we not dependent on him in every aspect of life? Let's go back to the basics. And it is suitable at this time of year. It's in this time of year in this part of the country, of the world, where many food crops are harvested or have been harvested. At least those that are cultivated naturally in the cycle of the seasons. If you were obviously in Argentina or Zimbabwe or somewhere, it would be a different time of the year. We connect with it now because food is a basic element of our lives on earth. I think we are very much alerted to the nature of this in this model prayer. With this in mind, I want us to think over a little this morning our daily needs, signified by our daily bread, but also our Heavenly Father, the one to whom we are to come with this request, and to dwell a little more on our trusting prayers. That's what this this prayer is. First of all, then, for a moment, on our daily needs. So I read this prayer, and the prayer as a whole is so sharp in its focus. It covers the needs of man. If you want to know what you need in life, and there is a distinction which you've perhaps heard people mention before, there is a great difference between what you need, what is essential, what you cannot do without, and what you would like to have. There can be a lot of other things. But what do you need in life? Trace through this prayer. And it starts at the very beginning. You have a great need. You yourself need. You cannot do without. Hallowing God's name, glorifying God. Our great catechism. Man's chief aim, man's main purpose in life is to glorify God. That will do you good. It is to honor his name. Hallowed be your name. It is to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. At the end, towards the end of the chapter, Jesus had said, everybody, every single person who has ever lived needs the food and drink and clothing, but you make sure you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Your kingdom come, your will be done. To seek God, to do God's will. You need forgiveness for your debts, your sins, your transgressions, your trespasses. And you need preservation from more sin. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You cannot do without any of these things. And then in the middle of all of that, not forgotten by God, another true need. Give us this day our daily bread. God, Father in heaven, give me food to live. Is there anything missing that you need? There is. Why didn't Jesus include it in such a prayer? And to pray is to say, Lord, help me. Lord, provide. Lord, give these things. Only you can do it. But food is one of these things. It represents the essentials of life. And see how often in those verses we read how Jesus particularly focuses on food and clothing. The essentials, the basics of life. You might add shelter. That's something that we do need. But they're gathered together, summarized in this model prayer. We do well to develop it and open it up further. But again, ensuring that we are looking especially at our needs. It is a recognition that man is body and soul together. These belong together because that's who we are. I need food to live, but I also need my sins forgiven to live. And this is the way that God made us. Way back in Genesis, when he put man in the garden, he said, I've given you all the fruit of the garden to eat. It was an essential part of man's life from the very beginning. It is true, isn't it? We read here, and Luke picks it up as well, in verse 25 of chapter 6 of Matthew. Do not worry about your life. At the end of that verse, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Yes, that is true. But it doesn't mean that those things are not important. It is more than that, but those things are part of our lives. It was Paul who writing to Timothy, he wrote in his first letter, chapter 6, he said, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. And it was just a couple of verses before that he had said, godliness with contentment is great gain. We see it in Philippians when we come to that place that Paul talks about having learned to be content, whatever his condition, that contentment. Food is, or life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. You need those things, yes. But we also need to bear in mind that they are only part of our great needs. But let's think about our daily needs, our daily bread. Think about where these things come from. Of course, I've hinted at that, and perhaps having hinted at it, it's got your mind going and those mental juices flowing, that you have started to think, yes, I go out and I buy my clothes from the shops and my food, my house or shelter, it costs money. Where does that come from? There are some cultures where it's much more direct, where in certain societies you do make your own house. You literally do it with your hands. You don't pay money to anyone, you put it together with what's around. You dig your own fields. You harvest your own crops. That's at the cost of time and labor rather than money. Does that mean that the source of these things is man's labor? Where does that come from? Keep digging. You know these things. But do you always remember them? Do you always dwell on them? Because if you don't, how are you responding to the things that you do have? The needs, the essentials, and the luxuries. How is it that I can work? Whether you're working in the field and you produce a crop of sweet corn or oranges or whatever it might be. How can you do that? How can you go to the office and earn a living that way? It's only because you have been made in such a way. The farmer has strength in his arms. The office worker has strength in his mind, skills. Or go to the land and you need that food. How does the land yield its fruit? How does it respond to the work of the farmer? God alone sends the rain and keeps the sun. We've sung of those things already. How it's in His wisdom that He set the sun in the sky. It's God alone who made the seeds and the plants with the seeds after their own kind, that they would produce and bring forth fruit. Trace those things back. Dwell on it. Think about it. Be aware of it. That's the beauty of learning the things that you do at school, children. You learn through the science and the cycle of life and all of those things. Don't forget them, because that's God at work so that you can live. Take a moment when you look at that vast array of soups on the shelf in Tesco. Where have they come from? God has blessed me. Pause and reflect on your complete dependence. These needs in life, the spiritual needs, also the physical, the bodily needs, for life as a whole, completely dependent on God. The food that you ate before you came out this morning, the water in our juice and tea and coffee after the service, God gives it. But not only does He simply give the food, it would be quite possible for, as you see it from time to time, in a disaster area, and there's aid comes in, there's great big sacks of flour or rice or something, and it's being handed out, and you wonder just how much feeling there can be in a case like that, where the aid worker is giving a basin full of rice to a destitute person. God can give, but there's more to it than that. There's also the great care in God's giving. He cares for us in our needs. He provides for us. There was a moment when Abraham gave what at that time was, we might say, a new name for God. It was for a specific occasion, and it was for relating to a sacrifice in particular. But it's a name that belongs to God. The old translation puts it, Jehovah Jireh, that's the Lord will provide. That's who He is, the Lord's provider, out of His knowledge of us in our need. It describes God in His complete character and all His dealings with man. And it's a fatherly care. That fatherly care that God gives us. That is, in itself is a remarkable thing. I want to then come to our Heavenly Father, just touch there on our daily needs. We need to think through these things. Think as well of who it is that we're turning to, our Heavenly Father. That's the introduction to this prayer. This petition, give us this day our daily bread, fits under that entire address, our Father in heaven. And that's what Jesus is going on to say in other verses that we have read. How God is ready to respond to our prayers as a father who cares for his children. He deals with that further on in chapter 7 as well. And I'll just read one verse further down in verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? His fatherly care, the love of a father towards his children. Our Father in heaven. James summarized it in chapter 1. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Didn't we read in this very chapter, verses 31-32, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And the implication is that he knows it, he provides. He is a loving Father. He will only give what is good. He talks, uses the picture where a man has a son who asks for bread. Will he give him a stone? The son has the wisdom to ask for good things. But what happens when the son asks for something that's not good? Will the father give it to him? That's not the picture that Jesus paints at all, and far less with regard to our Heavenly Father. Again in James, a warning about this, chapter 4 this time, he says, you ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss in the wrong way, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. His fatherly care protects us even from ourselves and our wrong desires. He is a father with a fatherly heart, a fatherly care, fatherly love. But we are also to remember, it's not just our Father, hallowed be your name, it's our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Give us this day our daily bread. The Father is the one that we confess this morning. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. It's wonderful to have a willing Father, one who would love to respond and to give everything that the child needs. But here we have this combined not only with willingness and a loving heart, but also with a great ability, capacity. Some human fathers may dearly wish to be able to give everything to their children and their families and their wives and so on, but they can't because maybe short of money or for other reasons. It's not so with this Father in heaven. He's without limit. And this prayer recalls this. Our Father in heaven, you are the one. Give us this day our daily bread. And this prayer brings us back to renew confidence and trust in him. So to speak now about trusting prayers, which this prayer is. Because of who it is that we address, so we pray. We pray because we can do nothing without God. Of course, there are people around us who succeed in life, it seems. They gather in a great deal of daily bread and so much more, and they don't seem to have God. I'm not saying that you gather in a great deal because you're without God. That's not what I'm saying at all. There are some who serve Him very faithfully, and He blesses with material prosperity, and certainly it was the case with Israel. But there are those who seem to do very well in the things of this life without God. But they don't do it without God. They try to keep Him away, but those things only ever do come from God. The Gentiles seek those things. Where do they get them from? They get them from God too. That's one example of why we say that God shows His grace to all men to some degree. Life, the life that we live, the life that we breathe of any kind, is God at work. It can only be that way. Not a single man, a single person can work or eat unless God makes it so. But we must come in prayer. We must come and recognize those things. This prayer is an acknowledgement of that. There are many who will receive their daily bread. Why do we need to pray? We need to pray because it brings us in trust upon Him. That recognition, that going back, tracing things back through, it's all wrapped up in this prayer. When you say, "Give us this day our daily bread," do you realize just what a remarkable thing that is? If I take a slice of bread today, 23rd of October 2011, and I eat it for breakfast, that's my daily bread, for which I must give thanks. Assuming that I have done as I should and I asked God for it, I can then say as I eat it that He has answered that prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. But how has God answered that? There's no genius to see this. But do we see it, and do we think on it? I open a loaf of bread, I take a slice of bread to eat it today, the 23rd of October. Perhaps I bought that loaf 2 days ago in the shop. Maybe if I freeze it, I bought it a month ago, and it's been in the freezer for some time. That loaf was baked before that. Hands of men did it. To bake that loaf, it was made from ingredients that were bought into the factory. And those ingredients were themselves, therefore, prepared some time further back than that. You take the flour, that's the main ingredient of the loaf. That flour was milled from wheat some time before. That wheat was grain that was harvested before that still. How far back are you going here? And that grain could only be harvested because it had grown over some period of time, some weeks, months, having been planted from seed that was sown. And that seed came from a previous generation of wheat. And so you go back and back and back so that God answers on the 23rd of October with my daily bread. He's been doing this for today. And I'm praying. I've been asked to pray. I've been directed to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. When you buy that bread with money that you earn, it's because you can work. You can work because you have skills. You have those skills because you've been trained, because you went to school, because you've been brought up, because you've lived. Before I ask, He has provided my daily bread, my single slice of bread for today. Before I ask, what are you praying about? Surely it's not our prayers that sway God in His plans and His provision. Our prayer is an expression of our own trust in Him, that we recognize that He is at work, and that I cannot even eat without His provision, without His work, without His care that has culminated day by day in what I receive. As you take such words, so simple, so direct, so ordinary, take them and be led by them to think on your life as it's been laid out, not just before God, but by God. And to ensure that in that life you see the things that are of enduring value. And I think as a result, when you begin to reflect in that way, I think there's also an implied awareness of the great reasons that we have to give thanks. Why do you ask today for our daily bread? Because God has given it yesterday. And asking again is in itself an expression of thankfulness. I may have told you this before, but I was told when we were many years ago going to Africa, and somebody said, the way an African will thank you for a meal is not to ask for the recipe as you might hear, but to ask for another helping and then another one after that. I think that's what this is about. Ask for your daily bread because God has already provided for yesterday and the day before and so on. And it is an expression of thankfulness. God's activity for your concerns, the needs of your body. You are body and soul. The way He prepares and provides over years, indeed over eternity. His eternal plans, His eternal activity, His eternal love towards you. I remember that there was an occasion when there were 10 men who were sick and they were cast out of society. Luke tells it in chapter 17. And they asked Jesus to heal them, and He did. Of those 10, one turned back to give thanks. And I think that turning back to offer thanks is so important. What happened to that man? The other 9 were gone and off into the distance. He was left behind. But what a privilege he had, because he was there with the Lord and Master who honored his thankfulness, who assured him that his faith was effective, who assured him of his well-being. It was a Samaritan. I think acutely aware of his great debt, that this was entirely of mercy. The Jews, perhaps, who were in that group, just almost assumed, oh, they were well, let's get on with life. The Samaritan was acutely aware that what he had now, even in his body, was God's mercy to him. Is that what we're aware of? As you take that slice of bread on the 23rd of October 2011, are you remembering the mercy of God towards you? Because that's where it comes from. The prayer is an expression of absolute trust. That's the way it needs to be. We need to be each exercised in mind and heart to recognize just what wonderful things, even in our daily bread. My mind goes back to Psalm 40, where the psalmist says, these things, I can't tell them, they're beyond number. And we often think of that as a saving work, because he's lifted him out of the bog and set him on a rock. And it is. But even this, beyond number. Even with a slice of bread. Time has gone for this morning. With all this, giving thanks for the passage of the seasons, bring food on the table. With all this, seeking to see the essentials of life more clearly. Life is more than food and clothing, but do dwell on the provision of your daily needs, your daily bread. Dwell on the provision by your Father in heaven, to whom the kingdom belongs, God Himself. He's loving, He's willing, He's eminently capable. And pray. Pray with a deeper thanks. Pray, offering a greater dependence and trust upon Him. Pray, looking for His answer, eager to see how He will complete for today and the next, and so on. But as you do all those things, life is more than food and clothing. Listen to the ancient prophet. He was faced with a far gloomier picture than most who see daily life. And he said, though the fig tree may not blossom, not even blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills, even without the food. He's saying, I will trust, regardless of anything. And that's what this prayer is saying. Lord, I can do nothing, I have nothing, unless You will do it, unless You will give it. Lord, I must have You. Hallowed be Your name. That's as far as I can go this morning, but may God set His blessing on His word. Don't close your Bible, please. Please hold it open at Matthew chapter 6. As you may find it helpful, I would ask that we share together in our responding prayer. Let us pray these words that the Lord has taught us from partway through verse 9 of chapter 6 of Matthew. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Psalm 34.